I want you to take your Bibles this morning, and if you will, turn to the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. I want to talk to you today about something that's very, very important, and I'm not real sure that sometimes, even though we understand and see the importance of it, that sometimes we still try to avoid it. And it's simply the whole subject of baptism, and I'll show you why that's so important in just a minute. But once you find your place in Mark chapter 1, just kind of listen to me for a second as I try to get us to understand how important the life and example and ministry of Jesus is, even the baptism of Jesus. When you start thinking about it, the most powerful demonstration of God's love for us is Jesus. I mean, the most powerful, if you want to know how much God loves you, all you need to do is look at the life of Jesus. In fact, the apostle John, late in his life, 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, he says this: "In this is the love of God, or the love of God was manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him." He's saying, you know what? If you want to see a picture of God's amazing, awesome, wondrous love for you, then just look at Jesus, because that's where his love was made manifest. That's where it was shown. That's where it was demonstrated. And what's so awesome about that is God's love is so personal. He sent his Son, and it is so powerful that we all may come to saving faith through Christ, that we may all experience the glories and joys of heaven through Jesus. But you know what? He's not just a way to heaven. He's not just a way to eternal life. He made it very clear that he is the way to eternal life. And that's where a lot of people take exception with Jesus and with the Bible and with Christians. But it's the truth. In fact, in John 14:6, Jesus himself said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Now, when you start thinking about those two things and put all that together, you realize that from beginning to end, the life of Jesus is very important and critical for believers. Because we're called Christians, and Christians are Christ followers. We are followers of Jesus. We're people who've put their faith and trust in Jesus and followers of Jesus. And so every aspect of the life of Jesus is critically important, not only for us to understand and embrace, but for us to obey. We need to obey the life that was lived out in the person of Jesus. And that's why this morning I want to spend a little bit of time and talk about baptism. And I want us to look at the baptism of Jesus and see what that has to do with our lives, how we live and what we do. And so in Mark chapter 1, I want to begin reading in verse 1 and read down through verse 11. Listen to this. "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths.' And so John appeared baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, 'After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandal I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.'" Now here's the amazing part. Here's the incredible part of this whole story. I mean, John, after 400 years of silence, has been raised up by God himself to proclaim the truths concerning Jesus and prepare the way for Jesus. And in verse 9, something unexpected happens. "In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased.'" What's amazing about that is even John himself said, "I have need to be baptized of you. I don't need to be baptizing you." And Jesus in Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 said, "No, we're doing this to let all righteousness be fulfilled." And we'll talk about that in a minute. So it's an amazing story. It's an amazing feat. I want to take you through that a minute. I want you to first understand how important the baptism of Jesus was, and then see how that affects our life. What he did in being baptized affects us as believers, followers of Jesus. The first thing is this grand pronouncement found in verse 1 that is just incredible. It says that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, that may not sound astounding to you, especially being in church, and we hear that all the time, and we talk about Jesus being God. But in the very beginning of this gospel, Mark records these words, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's God in the flesh. Amazing story. Because when Jesus comes and lives on this earth as God in the flesh, he decides to do something that was a symbol of personal repentance. In chapter 1, verse 4, we read that John was baptizing in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? Because Jesus didn't have any sin, did he? In fact, the Bible makes it very clear. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. So what was his baptism all about? If Jesus had no sin to repent of, and John's baptism was a baptism of repentance, preparing the way for Jesus, why did he get baptized? Well, I want you to take your Bible from Mark and turn back to Matthew and turn to chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Turn the pages really loud so I know you're following me. There you go. Look down in verse 13. It says, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, but do you come to me? And Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he consented. In other words, what we need to understand is Jesus was not being baptized because for repentance of sins. Jesus was being baptized, committing himself to live out the saving act of God presented in the gospel and prophesied in the Old Testament. He was fulfilling all the prophecies of the Old Testament concerning the saving activity of Almighty God for the human race. Now, what's so great about that is what happens when Jesus is baptized. He's committed himself to the ministry that he was called to fulfill. He was committed himself to the cross, where he literally became the substitutionary atonement for all of us as believers. Let me just show you one verse. You just write this down. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 through 17. It says this, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through the fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Now, what was he saying? He's saying that when Jesus, being baptized, was making a commitment to fulfill Old Testament prophecy that talked about the saving activity of God for the human race, and he was literally committing himself to lay down his life for his brothers. He would become our substitute on the cross. And so his baptism was critical, was very, very important. But something else that was interesting about it, and that is in Jesus' baptism, we see how important it was because of who showed up. Have you ever paid attention to the words that took place in Mark chapter 1, verse 9 and following, and in Matthew chapter 3, when it says when Jesus was baptized by John, lowered down in the water and raised back up, that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, descended as a what? As a dove. And the voice of the Father said, what? This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. And so in this, you want to know how critical this event was in the life of Jesus, how important it was for us as believers to understand it. Look who showed up. We've got God the Son in the flesh. We've got God the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove. And we've got God the Father speaking. The whole Trinity, the whole Godhead is all present at the baptism of Jesus. It's important. Now, here's the question. I understand how important it was for Jesus to be baptized. I understand how important it was for us to understand the importance of Jesus' baptism, but what does it have to do with me? Well, I'll tell you what it has to do with you and what it has to do with me. When we claim to be Christ followers, when we claim to be Christians, believers, followers of Jesus, we need to be baptized in obedience to him. We need to experience what's called believer's baptism. Now, what does that mean? What does baptism literally mean? Well, you might want to jot this down. It's real simple. It is the biblical public symbol of our salvation through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It is the biblical public symbol of our salvation through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That's what it means. And you know what? You start thinking about that and you say, well, that's what I thought it was. I thought it was a symbol. And there are a lot of kinds of symbols. I mean, there are all kinds of symbols. And we could have a softball team sign up to play in the county, and we could take our logo and print it on a shirt, and they could run out on the field, and people would look at the cross and the open Bible and the sun. They say, "What is that?" You say, "Well, that's a logo of our church. What is that? That's a symbol of who we are as Eagles Landing First Baptist Church. That's a symbol, isn't it? This ring that's on my hand. This is a what kind of ring? Wedding ring. That's a symbol, isn't it? And it's a great symbol, because when people see that symbol wherever I go, whatever, they look at it and say, you know what, he's married. He's married. And it's a powerful symbol. But something even more powerful than that, something more powerful than a logo on a shirt or ring on a hand, is when a husband stays home all day, takes a day off of work. Guys, I'm setting you up here. And all day long, you do every chore that your wife normally does on a typical day. Whether it's washing clothes, vacuum, whatever she does, you do it. You do all of those things. And when she gets home and she comes home and sees all of that done, and she says, honey, why did you do that? And you say, because I love you. Absolutely. Now, as soon as she revives from passing out, you could say, that was a symbol of my love for you. That was a symbol. Now, we could step it up even another notch, and that is this. That is, when we're asked to do something by someone we love out of obedience and loyalty to them, we do it because we love them, and that's exactly the kind of symbol that baptism is. It is the kind of symbol that looks at God, sees how much he loves us, sees that all that he did for us in the person of Jesus, understands that this is something he asked us to do, that we're commanded to do, and out of loving obedience to him, we are baptized to demonstrate our love and our life in Jesus. Now, here's the question. Why should I get baptized? And let me tell you why I'm talking this, because I know when we talk about salvation, there are a lot of people that sit in church every single Sunday. We talk about salvation in Jesus, and you say, you know what? I really understand what that means, and I've heard the gospel many times, but I'm really not sure if I'm saved. You know what? There is no reason to walk out of this room today uncertain of your salvation or where you stand with Jesus. I mean, if God's at work in your heart and he's drawn you to himself and he's created this desire in your life to know him and to love him, then what you need to do is nail down your salvation and accept his offer of salvation that's found in Jesus. The same thing is true with baptism. I know when I start talking about baptism, and especially when I start talking about getting your baptism on the right side of your salvation. Some of you are saying, well, you know what, I probably need to do that. Maybe one day I need to do that. Or, you know what, I should have done that when I was younger, but I'm too old to get baptized. I mean, there's all kinds of excuses that we use, and we talk around it. But listen, baptism is an act of obedience to God as a believer. In fact, it's one of the first acts of obedience that ought to take place in the life of a believer. And so let me give you the reasons why you should be baptized. I'll just give you three of them real quick. Number one, it's an act of obedience. It's commanded by Jesus, the Great Commission. You know what that is? Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Jesus is talking to his disciples. And by the way, this is a resurrected Jesus. He's already been crucified. He's already been buried. He's already been resurrected. He's waiting to ascend to his Father. He's commissioning his disciples. And he says, go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's a command. It's a command. And so it's a command of Jesus that we be baptized. Number two, baptism identifies us with Jesus and identifies us as followers of Jesus. And what are we baptized into? He says, baptize them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When we're baptized, we're identifying with Jesus as his followers, his church, and that we're going to be obedient to him. We're setting a pattern for our life. And number three, obedience reveals my life as a Christian. Obedience reveals my life as a Christian. Listen to this verse. This is in 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. It's a great passage. It simply says this. By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Pretty powerful statement, isn't it? He didn't say that we keep his commandments in order to know him, but once we know him, we know that we are believers because we keep his commandments. It's a simple obedience to Jesus. Now, let me just go ahead and deal with some of the things that are going through your mind right now. Some people are sitting here thinking, you know what? I became a Christian when I was 20 years old, when I was 25, when I was 30, and I never have been baptized. I just didn't think it was that important. But every time somebody talks about baptism, and this is what you're saying, you're saying, you know what? I always thought, I need to get baptized. I need believer's baptism, biblical believer's baptism. But there was always a reason or an excuse for not doing it. And so let's just talk about some of those. Number one, you say, well, I'm not a Christian. Well, that's a good reason for not getting baptized, all right? The fact is there are a lot of people that have been baptized that aren't believers. And your baptism is on the wrong side of your salvation. And what you really need to do today is experience the joy that comes from knowing Jesus. And in just a few minutes, we have our invitation. I just want to invite you, man, if you're confused about your salvation, your relationship with God, where you stand with him, don't walk out of here still confused. There's no reason for that. We have plenty of people in this room that after this service is over, will sit down with you, open up this book, and remember, when you read this book, you hear his voice and say, this is exactly what God says about knowing Jesus. And as God works in your heart, you can come to know him as well as your Lord and Savior. But if you're not a Christian, you don't need to be baptized, because it is called believer's baptism for a reason. Because once you have come to saving faith in Christ, then you need to be baptized. Number two, I'm not ready. I'm not ready for baptism. I be honest with you, I've thought long and hard about that. I'm not ready. What does that mean? I'm not being mean. Just what does that mean? What does that mean? You've come to saving faith in Christ. You know him as your Lord and Savior. He says that once you come to saving faith in Christ, you need to be baptized. And you're going to look at God that you just gave your heart to and say, but I'm not ready. We're going to take away that excuse in just a minute, all right? Number three. Some people say, well, you know what? Baptism is not required for salvation. You're right. That water does not wash off sin. It doesn't wash off dirt, okay? But it's still important. In fact, it is necessary in a very real way. Might want to jot this down. Baptism is not necessary for salvation, but it is necessary for those who are saved. Why? Because Christ commanded that we be baptized. And so it's not necessary for salvation, no. But once you become a believer and you've trusted in Christ, it is necessary for those who are saved, because we have made a lifetime commitment to be obedient to God. And by the way, just think about this for a second. If you can't be obedient to God in baptism, one of the simplest things in all the world, you think about it, that water is heated. We have changing rooms. I tell people, you bring whatever it takes for you to get ready. You know, a briefcase or a suitcase, you pack it all with you, and you get baptized, and then you get to go changing it. There is nothing simpler than being baptized and being obedient to Christ. And think about the examples in Scripture, Acts chapter 2. You remember that? First day of the church, Peter stood up and preached. And what does it say? That people believed on him. In fact, 3,000 people that believed on him that day were baptized. Pretty phenomenal, isn't it? Acts chapter 8, you remember that? The Ethiopian eunuch is traveling back to Jerusalem on the Gaza Road. God has moved Philip from Samaria to this desert Gaza Road. He sees this chariot and this entourage of the treasurer of Ethiopia coming through, and he hears him reading what? Isaiah 53, that's talking about Jesus. And Philip climbs up into the chariot and shares Jesus with him. And the man, once he comes to saving faith in Christ, says, what prevents me from being baptized? Here is some water. And he baptizes him. Simple obedience. Number four, I'm afraid of water. I've heard that. I'm afraid of water. Well, I've got some good news for you. I don't know how many people in the last 20 years I've baptized. Not one person has drowned. Isn't that good news? Now, I haven't lost one person. Now, used to, they baptized in a river, and you could perhaps get swept out of the arms of the pastor and come up downstream somewhere. But this is a pool. I guarantee you we'll find you. All right? So there's no need to be afraid of water. Number five, I'm afraid of getting in front of a big crowd and being baptized. In fact, some people have said, I don't know, it'll mess up my hair. Listen, you're talking to the wrong person to be talking about hair. I just want you to know that. I'll give you the reason why that's not going to be an excuse anymore in just a minute. Number six, I'm not ready to join the church. That's fine. We're not asking you to join the church. If you know Jesus, be baptized in obedience to him. And number seven, I was baptized as a baby. I've had a lot of people talk about that. I was baptized as a baby, as an infant. And let me just fill you in on a couple things. Number one, infant baptism is not in the Bible. That was a thing that developed because of church tradition. And it might hold a special place in your family's tradition. It might even hold a special place in your parents' intention for you. Because when they baptized you, their whole desire was that you would come to know Jesus and you would be a devoted follower of Jesus. But it does not replace believer's baptism. It does not replace it. Believer's baptism is what's prescribed in the Bible for those of us who are believers. Now, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. Those are seven excuses that people use, and you say, I got five more. That's okay. We want to take all of those away today. You know, in our next service, 13 people are going to get baptized today. That have come to saving faith in Christ. And you know what? And I know there are people in this room right now that are saying, and your heart's pounding fast because you know, you're like, the pastor has having x-ray vision. He can see what's going on in my life, and he knows that I haven't been baptized, or he knows my baptism is on the wrong side of my salvation, and I need to be baptized. Well, here's what we're going to do for you today. And the invitation in just a minute. Not only are we going to invite people to come and say, you know what? I need to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Other people to come and pray. But we're going to invite you, if you know in your heart, you need to be baptized. We're going to have a special baptism service this afternoon, 4 o'clock. Right here, right there. All right? You bring whatever you need to be baptized in. Shirt and some shorts. And this is what we're going to do. We're going to meet right down here in the front. You bring your family if you can bring your family. If you don't have any family, it's okay. You just come. We're going to sit right down here. We're going to talk through what baptism means. Pray together, go to the pool, have a baptism service this afternoon, 4 o'clock. I guarantee you there won't be a big crowd. Okay? There won't be a big crowd. I guarantee you nobody's going to care what you look like when you finish getting baptized. And I guarantee you'll live through the experience. It will be the best thing you've done to set an example, to follow the example set by Jesus, to be committed to following his commandments, and to set a pattern for your life in following Jesus. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. We're on Palm Sunday. We're heading to Easter Sunday. We're in Passion Week, where Christ demonstrated in the most powerful way how much God loves us. Baptism is one of those ways that we tell Jesus that we love him. We obey his commands. And so I just want you to think about that for a second. If you got baptized here and you were 10, 12, 20 years old, and you know in your heart that at 25 or 26 or 3 weeks ago, you got saved and you say, do I need to get baptized again? No, you need to get baptized. It's called believer's baptism. After you come to saving faith in Christ, then you get baptized. Yes, you need to be baptized. As we head toward Easter, listen, what I'm praying for next Sunday is that God would use our church to be a testimony of his goodness and his grace and his power and his love. And I don't want us to sit here not being obedient to the call of Christ in our lives in the simplest of things and then asking God to work through us to bring the light of the gospel to the world. It's kind of ridiculous, isn't it? Jesus used us to be the light of the world. That's our memory verse for this year. But I'm not going to obey you in this simplest of things. So in just a minute in our invitation, this is what I'm asking you to do. And if God's working in your heart, you say, you know what, I really need to be baptized. And it doesn't matter if you're 10 or if you're 90. If you need to be baptized, you need to be baptized. And there's no better time than now. And so I'm just asking you to do this. We're going to have people at either side. Just walk down and give them your name and say, I'm going to be here this afternoon at 4 o'clock. We'll give you a little sheet telling you what to bring with you and where to be. And then we'll look forward to seeing you at 4 o'clock. If you're coming today and you're saying, you know what, I'm real unsure of my salvation and I've really been struggling with that and it's been a real concern on my heart and I don't know what to do about it, then just come down, take one of our pastors by the hand and just say, you know what, I need to give my life to Jesus. And I need to understand what that means. I'm really confused by that. I'm really struggling with the assurance of my own salvation. Let us take the scripture and sit down with you and talk to you about your life in Christ. I mean, there is no better day than right now, today, to get things in order with God. Would you agree? So let's stand together and let's pray. Father, we bow before you today and we thank you for your love and for your grace. We thank you for all that we have in Jesus. We thank you that when we come to Christ in saving faith, that all of our sins are forgiven, that our salvation is secure in Jesus, and that, Lord, when we die in this life, we know that we're going to live forever with you in a place called heaven that is perfect in every way. No pain, no sadness, no sin, no death, no goodbyes. Everything has been given to us by you. And God, we just pray right now. I just pray for the group of people that you've assembled today at 9:30. And I just pray that the power of your word would sink deep within their hearts and that you would bring us to set aside all pride or all excuses or reasons for not being obedient to you. And today, we would simply be obedient to your call in our lives. Lord, have your way in us. Work in us. And may you be honored and blessed by our obedience. And may you use us to be a testimony of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Lord, have your way in our hearts now and be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Reagan is standing right over here on this side. And Tim's standing right here on this side. And you know what? If you're here today and you've been struggling with it, and I don't know how many people in my time as pastor, I've encountered when people say, you know what? My baptism's on the wrong side of my salvation. Or I never did get baptized when I came to saving faith in Jesus. Well, don't let that be your story anymore. Don't let that be your story. Don't say, you know what, I've been disobedient to God. Say, I'm being obedient to God, and I'm going to follow his call in my life. You just come to one of them. And if you need to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'll be right here in the front as well. Just come to one of us and say, I'm struggling with my faith in Christ, my relationship with God. And let us sit down and talk to you about how to know Jesus. As God speaks, let's obey. And so you come right now. We'll meet you right here.